Hi, and welcome to Radio EVA, the podcast of Equal Voice Action, a member-led organization that connects and builds power among low-income families to influence policies that improve the economic and social well-being of all. I'm Star Pascal, a proud member of Equal Voice Action Board and Family Advisory Community, and I'm honored to host the inaugural episode of Radio EVA, where Equal Voice Action members and allies in our broader Equal Voice network will be sharing our voice and the voices of our communities as we work for change. For this episode, I'm very pleased to welcome Ernest Johnson, a fellow member of the Equal Voice Action Board and Family Advisory Community. Ernest is the co-founder and director of Ubuntu Village, a social justice organization based in New Orleans, Louisiana. Ubuntu Village primarily works with youth and their families who are involved in criminal justice system as they face the challenges of mass incarceration, racism, joblessness, divisiveness, and other pressing issues. The broader goal and outcome of their work is community development, as they strive to foster transformational justice through a host of services and a message of equity and unity. Ernest, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, my friend. To start off, Ubuntu is a South African word that means I am because we are. Can you tell us more about the work and your team at Ubuntu Village are doing in New Orleans?
We decided to take on the name of Ubuntu Village just because of the opening you explained, that I am because we are. The African philosophy indicates that we look at other people through generosity, compassion, in a way that we look at them that they are us and we are them. Ubuntu's mission is to provide a program that delivers social, economical, and transformation justice to children and their families in the communities. We work primarily with youth who are involved in the criminal justice system and their families. Our programs involve connecting to service as well as long-term educational planning, skill development, mentor, and leadership development. This includes anti-oppression trainings, know your rights, restorative parent discussion, participatory action research, and history lessons.
Awesome. And it sounds like Ubuntu Village is comprehensive in the sense of that from the start to finish to the issues that you are addressing, that you offer a lot of services. So that is awesome to hear. And it sounds like that it's a great asset for your community.
Yes, we understand that from a holistic standpoint that it's important that we have young people and their families understand, for one, their history and who they are. And to do that work on the back of the ancestors is very important. And we understand that teaching young people or giving young people an opportunity to tap into their own genius without delivering them something that we think they may need is very vital in their growth.
Most definitely. And society has a way of telling our kids something completely different and often confusing who their person, who they are. And I think it's great that you're allowing them to grow into that and providing them services. So great job on that. Ubuntu has just released a new report, Parents Fighting for Youth Justice. Can you tell us more about the report and their findings?
Yes. This report by Parents Fighting for Youth Justice was came out of parents and family have repeatedly informed Ubuntu staff that they feel uninformed, disrespected, and confused when they're navigating the Orleans juvenile justice system. So they describe their experience as being inconsistent, often disempowered. So we decided to do a survey that went from June of last year to early of this year and compiled some surveys and had a number of focus groups. And then we done had a research team out of that report. And what we found that is that a number of the parents indicated that there was a lack of communication and information. Families frequently reported they were not given the tools to understand their child's court case. And it just kind of was running through it and using a jagged language where they didn't understand the language. And most times, psychologically, they go, you know, beaten down to the degree that they would accept a plea agreement and just move forward without, you know, really understanding what the impact of it was on themselves and their children.
Yeah.
Also, There was a family felt like there was a lack of respect. There was oftentimes that the judges mentioned things to some of the family members and their kids, and they just was disrespectful in a way and using language that they feel wasn't adequate or understandable enough for them to comprehend. Also, we found that 99% of the people who we surveyed in the juvenile court were African Americans, 65% were women, and 71% of those folks were missing work. And one of the last findings, we found that it was a lack of effective rehabilitative programs that foster a different behavior, and most of them were short terms, and families felt like they wasn't given enough from a community standpoint to move forward with their child's life. It was just during the court process that they had these programs, and then after that they were left with some of the same issues that they started with from the very beginning.
And that's scary, right?
Yes. It's very scary. You know, as mentioned, the time burden placed on parents and families navigating the juvenile court is excessive. According to our surveys, the average number of times that a parent has visited the court was 5 to 7 times, and they waited an average of 3 to 4 hours each time they visited the court. And what we found was, even in waiting that long length of time, some of the times the cases were continued, and they didn't even get an opportunity to see that judge. So it was kind of disturbing, and it can become frustrating. So we're trying to create some solutions that maybe can change the culture of juvenile court here in Orleans Parish in New Orleans, Louisiana. And one was to provide a parent advocate for the courts, set specific times for parents on the docket, make available successful long-term rehabilitative programs, and involve parents and children in input in the child's plan from the very, very beginning.
That's great. Tell me, what are the takeaways and strategies or case studies that you might share from your work that would be useful to other EVA members or allies working on these and related issues in their own communities?
So one is from 2015 from the Office of Juvenile Justice Delinquents program that says actively engage in system involving formerly incarcerated youth and their families in planning decision make that affects their lives. It means giving them a voice in development of policies, practice, and governance of the agencies or systems in which they are involved. Family engagement should be a collaborative relationship where the families are considered partners in both their child's treatment and policies, program, and practice of the juvenile justice system itself. And there's one other one, Luckenbill and Yeager. It states that family involvement in Pennsylvania juvenile justice system model for change, Pennsylvania Family Involvement Workshop with Pennsylvania Council of Chief Juvenile Probation Officer Balance and Restorative Justice Implementation Committee, which says, sort of, you know, I visit Philadelphia and I visit that system, and it's just what we're saying. When you enter that system, there's a parent advocate that helps you navigate and understand what to expect. They're not a lawyer, but they advocate on your behalf to make you at least understand what you're up in front of when you initially come in contact with the juvenile justice system.
Right. And I think it goes back to, Ernest, you know, making sure that there's representation for those that are most impacted by this, which are those who are, you know, they have lack of money or education to be able to go through these systems and have advocates for them. So I think that's a great point that you just mentioned.
Yes.
Ernest, let's talk about Equal Voice Action. How can one become a member of Equal Voice Action?
One can become a member of Equal Voice Action by signing up. Equal Voice Action is a national family-led membership organization that focuses on eliminating poverty and giving families a voice that otherwise they would not have. Equal Voice goal is to influence policy and transform the communities that they live in. So it's very important that folks connect with their community, understand their particular issues, but by connecting and becoming a member of Equal Voice Action, it gives you an opportunity to amplify your voice on a national level. So I would always encourage folks to become a member of Equal Voice Action. Sometimes we are stagnated in our work in our particular communities and it becomes a burden on us. And we just get complacent in some cases and feel like, you know, the work is too hard to do. But I think, I'm sure by joining with Equal Voice Action on a national level, it builds and it gives you the opportunity to connect with like-minded people and gives you the opportunity, again, to amplify your voice on a national level on policies and a number of other issues that may affect your particular community.
I could not agree with you more, Ernest. I think one of the things from my own personal experience was being a part of Equal Voice Action was liberating for me, and the sense is this, that I met people that I would not typically have the chance to meet through Equal Voice Action, and it was also comforting to me to talk to people that were either had been through things that I had been through or were going through things that I was going through, and it felt like a family and a community. So I agree with you that Equal Voice Action is an excellent place for people to connect and also to be able to talk and fight for the issues that plague their communities.
Definitely. As you speak about that, it gave us, as being part of the Family Advisory Committee, to connect with folks from all parts of the country and to be like-minded and to share our ideals and to share our things that we had in common. And it was unbelievable because, you know, thinking about race and different dynamics, you wouldn't think that there were some social ills in different other communities, but for connecting, we found out that there are similar issues in some of the other communities also that sometimes is not amplified or put in the media in the way that it does in the communities that I live in. So it gave me a great opportunity, and Equal Voice was very supportive in many ways to in my growth in the work I do.
Most definitely. It was powerful. And it allowed us to be able to be united, and we're more powerful together. So I agree with you, brother, on that. How can fellow members, allies, or anyone out there listening connect with and learn more about Ubuntu Village?
You can learn more about Ubuntu Village by visiting our website at ubuntuvillagenola.org. We have a mailing address of 430 North Galvez Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70119. Or you can contact us by phone, which is local area code 504-267-4294.
Awesome. Thanks again, Ernest, for sharing your time and expertise today. And thank you all for tuning in to the episode of Radio EVA, the podcast of Equal Voice Action. To learn more about Equal Voice Action, we encourage you to visit equalvoiceaction.org. And to all our members and allies, if you'd like to share your voice and fellow voices from your communities on the podcast, please visit our website or email us at info@equalvoiceaction.org to share your ideas. Once again, I'm Star Pascal of the Equal Voice Action Board and Family Advisory Community. And stay tuned for more voices, resources, and opportunities to engage.